Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGP and MMA to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And of course, before you start this episode, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. You can get it all right in the palm of your hand, but make sure to download it wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 85. There's no good 85s out there really to dedicate this episode to, so I'm going to dedicate it to the future World Series champion, Atlanta Braves, because this is not a jinx at all. My associate co-host, who's a huge Braves fan, does not believe in jinxes, and he thinks the Braves are going to sweep, and it's just a formality, so I'm not jinxing them at all, dedicating this episode to them. With only three more wins to go. Right, associate co-host who's not allowed to talk? Right. He agrees. I would be your host, Jeff Fox. Hi, how you doing? This is not a baseball podcast, even though we do go off the rails sometimes and talk about other sports. This is an MMA podcast. We talk about betting on people fighting each other. How degenerate is that? Thank you. If it's the first time you found this podcast, thank you. Hopefully you found us on our feed, the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. That's where the podcasts drop first. Then they go up in the SGPN feed a day or so later. So if you want to get in all our hot picks before the lines go crazy like they tend to do, at least for the Contender Series, then definitely make sure you subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast. And while you're at it, be a buddy and give us a five-star review and tell us why I'm the greatest host and Dan's the greatest associate host in the history of God's green earth. All right, this is the show that we have so much jam-packed in it nowadays. We don't have time for this nonsense in the introductions. We're actually going to get right down to business here. And I'll interview him. I more interrogate him. He would be my associate co-host who I've mentioned, associate host, excuse me, take the co out, who I've mentioned already, who's definitely not nervous that I jinxed this team after all I've just said. We were calling him Mr. 80%, but I think we're going to have to crunch the numbers and make sure we can still call him that after last night. We call him the Danimal because that's a funny name. He goes by Gumby. Sometimes we call him Gumbo or Gumball or Barney Gumble. Sometimes we call him Son of Ichabod, the Bear Whisperer. You can call him Daniel Reeland if you like. Some people call him Daddy, I think, too, at least a couple people. And that will be my associate host, Dan Reeland. Hello.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for trying to jinx the Braves. I hope you failed miserably. Also, I take I take a little bit of offense to you being like, I couldn't think of any 85s. It must be because you're Canadian and don't watch American football, because like,
no, I never looked for football numbers.
Every good tight end and like wide receiver is like number 85. Like you're missing like Antonio Gates and Kittle and oh, Chad Ochocinco literally had his name changed to 85.
Yeah, but what have they done to deserve to be the podcast dedicated to them?
To jinxing my team.
No, all they'll do as good as my team did in the NBA finals. Don't worry.
Don't put that mojo on me.
They'll get one more win and then boom, they're done. I was going to dedicate it to Peter Klima. Do you remember Petra Klima, the hockey player? He was 85.
I don't remember Petra
Klima. He was in the 90s. It was like you were a baby. Oh, actually, he started before you were a baby. You were negative when you started. Anyhow. I said, are you still Mr. 80%? That's the thing. Last night was not a disaster, but it wasn't. It actually was a money-making enterprise, as Tuesday nights always are when Dan's making picks for you. But we're going to crunch numbers. Are you still hitting 80% on your Tuesday night contender series picks?
No, I'm a little bit under that. But So 4-6, so we got 67% this last weekend. But a plus 200 underdog means the whole night wound up being like a $180 profit if my quick math did its definitive justice, which is another nice winning week.
Overall, are you still at 80 or not? Because I think
I'd probably be a little under. No, I was exactly 80 at least for the weeks that we were talking about the incredible run. So
it still counts. So that was, you know, 4 out of 6 last night. One of them was a robbery, basically, or a stupid fighter move.
Takedown from Kuihui Yan. God, what is she doing? Like, why would she shoot? You're winning on the feet. You look great.
We'll go through the fights, yes.
Yeah, but it's so dumb.
And Dan's anger is making him jump ahead.
And then the other one that I missed, too, was an eye poke.
It's true.
You have replay. It's right there. Just use it.
It was her deem, though. Come on. All right, so since you're jumping right into it with your anger, let's break it down last night's contender series. Did you watch the fights in between the pitches, or how did you work things?
Planetary's fan. So early in the night, I had it on the first couple of fights, I had it on a phone nearby that I kept casually glancing down at. And then after some first inning heroics from the Braves, I turned it off completely and was like, screw this, I'll watch it tomorrow morning, which is what I did. I watched it over my coffee this morning before heading into work.
But you already were spoiled in all the wins, weren't you?
A couple of them. I mean, I guess I didn't see how the last three of them did. Yeah. I like knew my guys had won because it had been spoiled for me on Twitter because I'm, you know, in basking in the glow of a Braves victory on Twitter. I needed to be on there somewhat. So I did risk it being spoiled, and they were. I still went back to go see how those guys looked, and all of them looked good. So the picks look good.
Yep. And who would have thought that the baseball game would be the broken leg sport and the fighting wouldn't have no one break any legs?
Ooh, yeah. Charlie Morton. Also, like, badass as hell because he just pitched a whole nother
inning.
16 pitches. He pitched two more outs in that inning, and he went back out for the next one and struck out Jose Altuve before he was like, yo, my leg is freaking broken.
Are they going to – not that this is a baseball podcast, but are they going to need him to win 3 more games, or can they do it without him?
I think they can do it without him, but I don't predict such things. But they would need – they're going to need a little bit more luck than they would have if they had him.
Yeah, well, he would have been scheduled for what, probably – Game 4 and Game 7, possibly?
I think they said the original plan was 5 and then relief in 7 if need be. Yeah. The Braves aren't the type that like to go to those crazy, like, quick turnaround guys. They like to give people rest.
Well, it won't go 5, so we don't have to worry about that because they're sweeping. All right, let's get to the fights. Because we actually have, for the first time in, what, a month maybe? A jam-packed, even more than a month, a jam-packed UFC card. When's the last awesome UFC card we've had? Like,
It's been
over a month. Yes. So anyhow, we have a jam-packed UFC card coming up. And as we're speaking, PFL is on. We neglected to give picks for that. And by the time you listen to this, it will have been over. So we're not going to give you picks for that now. There'll be a bunch of new.
You would have gotten some if you joined our Slack and saw an article that a host put in there.
Exactly. SGPN Slack. Make sure you get in there for whatever sport you're into, or even if you're not into sports, you're just into food. The food channel is jumping on there. Everyone putting amazing meals that they've made or amazing meals that they've had at restaurants or in Vegas and stuff like that. So whatever you're into. But yeah, we're talking specifically on the fight channel where our resident superfan Jong lives, and he's always he has another question for this week for us. He's getting very anti-Asian fighters, which I think I'm going to have to tell him off about. But I think the last night's contender series really turned him off. Plus, he lost money in Korean fighters the week before. So I think he's getting, despite I believe he's Korean-American himself, I think he's getting down on his people. But nonetheless,
We warned him about the Korean fighters, though.
Exactly. I know. And we don't pick based on where they're from anyhow. Well, we may have to start picking against Chinese Performance Center because those guys and gals have not looked so hot. But all right, let's get into week 9. We started things off featherweight, as Dan predicted. Olivier Murad. They call him Olivier even though there's not an I there. It's Oliver in our language, but I believe they're calling him Olivier Murad. He beat Shi Bin. Split decision. Neither of the men looked good at all. Bin was getting torn, picked apart. Like, his head was whipping back on every time he got hit on the feet. Desperately going for takedowns. He did get quite a few takedowns, but did nothing once he had, for the most part, did nothing once he had Murad down. Murad basically couldn't stop the takedown and was pretty, like, sloppy and not that great looking on the feet striking either. So he won but did not get a contract. Dan hit that one. That was a plus something, right?
Plus, if you waited until came out, it was plus 212 or something like that right before fight time. But like if you were picking when we were running odds, I think it was plus 130, which is
right, yeah,
is pretty crazy. And then I picked him and the line went the other way. So maybe we don't have as much pull as we thought.
Yeah, why? I don't get why anyone would think Ben was any good.
It's because he's got one FC behind him. People
he's
saw
the one FC guy.
Yeah, people saw one FC and they're like, he must be good. And I was like, I think I predicted, by the way, that neither of these guys could get contracts because I didn't think either of them were good. Yeah.
Someone else coming up.
Yeah, he was just a guy who was like real skinny and like is mostly dependent on just like takedowns and laying on people. By the way, I think the judge's decision was right on that one, and not just because I picked Murad. Like, you got to do something with those takedowns to get points on them. You don't just like win a round for having a couple.
Yeah, those days are over. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably for the better that they're over too, because that was like a ridiculous time in judging. But like now, it's great that like. At least two judges got this right. I guess maybe we shouldn't be tooting their horns too much because one of them got it wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Wasn't it our friend Adelaide Bird, I believe, who got it wrong?
Oh, God.
I think they said Bird.
That makes perfect sense.
Exactly. All right, so that one, another guy looked good. Right guy won, but another guy looked good. Next, lightweight, Manuel Torres, not Miguel Angel Torres, and he did not fight like him and did not have hair like him. But anyhow, he beat Colton England and his problematic white assassin nickname. TKO punches. England was your pick, and he did not look. No, wait a minute. You didn't pick England, did? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. I picked England. Yeah,
England. England.
I will say he didn't look great, but I will say I think if we kept him in there without the eye poke, like who knows?
Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm getting on my picks.
This is the weird eye poke one.
Torres. They were locked up. Torres. Kind of against the fence, not really. Torres pushed off clearly with his outstretched fingers into his eye. He signaled that signaled that he got poked in the eye. Herb Dean did the classic Herb Dean, standing there like, shrugging his shoulders type of move. And then England decided, he's going to have a hissy fit because he was pouting because he got poked in the eye. And then he got punched a bunch of times instead and ended up turtling up and losing. So. It was bad refereeing. Plus, you don't stop fighting just because you got poked in the eye. Easier for me to say sitting here on my fat butt, but still.
Yeah, I agree with you too. Like, you just don't show up like that. You got to at least protect yourself and try to fight out. I mean, like, unless his eye's really damaged, which didn't seem to be the case.
No. And Taurus got a contract, which I don't agree with. Dana was giving him out like it was Halloween. Yeah, Taurus shouldn't have got a contract off of that, right?
I don't think so. No.
Nope. And next one, definitely shouldn't have got a contract. Women's flyweight, Karine Silva, Kiwi Yan. Yan looked amazing, like a little tank in there. She was just destroying Silva, taking her down and beating the crap out of her at will. And then she got a little too gung-ho on her takedowns, got caught in a guillotine and tapped out in the second round. And for some reason, Silva got a contract, which is ridiculous because she is not good and was not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great person to fade whenever she makes her UFC debut, which will probably be in a couple weeks based on how they're booking these guys.
Yeah, that is true. So Dan got – that's when I put in the Slack. Uh-oh, Dan's coming back to Earth. He's becoming immortal this week.
And then I just won three more in a row real quick.
Yeah, exactly. He was one and two, and then you got the next three right. So we're all as well. Next fight, Oren Kalin, who basically is – he's UFC, right? If you ask me, he – what's called UFC move. He did like xenophobic terrorist rants against his opponent, which is totally UFC trash talk style. Even Dana White says, you know, he has no problem with that. He actually came out and said he has no problem with people calling each other terrorists that weigh in. So anyhow, he got the crap beat out of him and then submitted by this guy deserved a contract. Jeve Bashrat looked amazing in this fight. He totally just beat the tar out of Kalan before mercifully tapping him out. Dan got this one right.
Yeah, and I think I talked a lot before about how much I thought he was going to be a big deal, too. And he's legit. I'm excited to see whatever they do for him next.
Does it bother you that he's a terrorist and he's in the UFC now, though?
What a fucking terrible... Like, that dude also missed weight, too, right?
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, I mentioned that, actually. Yes, yes. UFC caliber. Perfect.
Man, I'm just glad he won't be around and won't get another shot. So
Basharat, yeah, he looked horrible. He got destroyed. Basharat's from what, Afghanistan? Is that why he's...
He's originally from Afghanistan, but he trains in England, if I'm not mistaken.
And that makes you a terrorist because...
I assume you're really racist. I assume that's the only way that works.
Yeah, I have friends from Afghanistan. I never thought they were terrorists. I should check twice then, should I, Dan? Because
isn't that where? Yeah. No, I'm not gonna say it because I'm gonna get it wrong.
Okay, good.
I'll say it. Isn't it where Bilal Muhammad's originally from?
Remember the name? You mean?
Yeah, I remembered his name, but I couldn't remember where he was from.
Remembered his name. It's true. I'm not sure if he's Afghani or not, but we do remember his name though. I'm picturing him with shades on, by the way, now that you mention him.
Yeah, because you're remembering his name.
Exactly. This is what this podcast is all about, pauses while someone looks up where a person's from on Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. He might be from Palestine, now that I think about it.
Okay,
I can't find this anywhere. But
I think he's Palestinian, you're right.
One of those Middle Eastern countries. Anyway, continue.
Oh, are you going to call him a terrorist now, too? Is that what you're getting at? We don't call people terrorists on this podcast.
It is Palestine, by the way. It is Palestine. Okay. I messed up. Yeah, Palestine.
All right. Anyhow. So the right guy won, and he looked very good doing it. So, yeah, he looks legit at featherweight. And he was fighting a guy who's well overweight, like 4 pounds overweight, too. He looks like he's ready to jump right in there, right?
Yeah, I'd love to see him against, like, you know, not the typical newcomer matchup you see, but, like, somebody who's pretty decent in there. You know, I don't have names off the top of my head, but I'd like to see him fight somebody legitimate.
Yep. So there you go. Okay, co-main event, if you want to call it that. Bantamweight, Christian Quinones beat Long Chow. He beat him straight, 32-27. He's got crazy tattoos all the way up his neck, also, in case you wondered. And he got a contract, and Dan got this one right.
Yeah, not much to say. He was way better. Long Chow was really awful. Next fight.
All right, no, actually, maybe before we move on. Is it too much of a blanket statement saying that fighters from the Chinese UFC Performance Center aren't ready for the UFC at this point? It seems from too small of a sample size because we've had them on the main UFC roster and those shows. We've had them on Contender Series, and I don't think one has impressed us, really.
The sample size right now is about six, right?
Yeah. But they all, it's kind of like a pattern. They all kind of look the same. Like,
yeah. I would say Rong Zhu looked pretty good his last time out, though.
Yeah.
He just got a win, although it was on a short notice against the guy who doesn't belong in the UFC, but he's also fighting Ignacio Baja Mondays next, which isn't going to go well for him at all. But yeah.
I'm not saying Chinese fighters in general, obviously. I'm saying people who were trained at the UFC Performance Center in China I don't know if they're rushing them or what the deal is, but they seem like they're really not polished or well-rounded enough to make a splash.
I think next week has a couple more of them, so we might just find out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we may have some betting opportunities there, right? All right. Or maybe I'm just salty because I still remember us losing on a bunch of those picks months ago. So
I mean, I think we took almost all of them.
Yeah.
With the exception
I think one
of them
actually.
Yeah.
I think a female one.
No. Na Liang was winning handily the whole time and then blew it against Sarnia and Carnelosi because she got tired.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. I don't want to sound like Zhang here and say that kick all the Chinese fighters out of the UFC or anything like that. So that's the type of stuff you get in our Slack. But we're just joking around. It's all in good fun. We're not going to kick anyone out. We don't have that power. Even Dana's not going to kick out people or call people terrorists. So, middleweight, main event. Gadzi Omar Gadziev submitted Jancy Silva, 4 minutes, 19 seconds. Dan got this one right as well and said this was going to be very, well, the line at the on the boards made it clear this one should be a pretty easy victory, and it definitely was. And you got a contract, not surprisingly.
Yeah, Jancy Silva, one of the worst guys they had on the Contender Series, I think. They just liked that he had big knockout power, and he did not look good and got knee-barred. So I appreciate him letting us get that extra new kind of finish into Contender Series.
Right. Are you trying to say the UFC should kick all the Jancys out of the organization? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
We're just this episode is going to be subnamed Blanket Statements.
Blanket Statements. All Jancys are out. All right. So who impressed you the most last night?
Bashrat. Bashrat. Yeah, and it's not even close. Like,
no.
Omar Gadziev, I think, might actually be good, I'd need to see him fight somebody. Whereas Bashrat battered the hell out of, like, an undefeated prospect who was overweight and just made him look like he didn't belong in there. So, most hyped on him.
So as for contracts, probably the first three, the last three fights should have got the contracts, and that's it, right? Like Silva and Torres, come on.
I guess if you liked what you saw from Torres before the eye poke, which is possible, it wasn't like a clear cut fight. I think I probably would have brought him back for a fight in some capacity and then given the other three contracts. But yeah, I would not have given Silva that fight. She's going to just get murdered by whoever in the...
She did already.
It's not good. So put her with any striker at 125 pounds in the UFC and she gets battered.
Yeah. Hopefully Kui Wee Yan gets another shot because she looked pretty scary in there. She's like I said, a tank in a good way. Like, she was super powerful and aggressive. She just maybe a little too aggressive, perhaps.
Yeah, just one bad move away from probably having a contract in her own right.
Yeah, small for like tiny for a flyweight though, but like not she's like so muscular. I couldn't see her in any other weight class, but she's not too tall. All right, anyone that we should jump on for week 10 before? First of all, the odds didn't really seem to go too crazy this week, right? I didn't notice any at least that
Murad went way up. Which I thought was kind of crazy.
Right.
I actually predicted that line would go the opposite way. I thought Bashrat might get better odds, but he didn't. It wound up being pretty similar. Eyes on the fact that maybe they're just getting better at lining things.
Yeah, maybe. All right, anyone that people should jump on for... Sorry to say, the last week of Contender Series, I'm sorry to say for many reasons, is Dan's making everyone a lot of money, first of all, and this actually gives Dan some self-esteem, because with the regular UFC picks, he's getting beat by me, who I feel like I'm a fraud, and I don't know what I'm talking about yet. I'm destroying Dan, so I don't know what that says, but so So it's making a lot of people a lot of money. It's good for Dan's self-esteem, and it gives us actually something to talk about other than, like, I don't know, backstories about your grandfather and middle names and stuff like that. Even though that stuff is entertaining, but that stuff has to be the icing on the cake. It can't be the actual cake. So I don't know what we're going to talk about after next week. We have to start talking about other promotions. But anyhow, getting to my question, anybody that people should jump on, and what are good lines for some of these fights coming up? Anyone?
You know, I'm actually going to hold off on that. I don't have a lot of advice to give right now, because three of the five fights are going to contain a Chinese fighter that I have to do research on, because they are just not easy to get film on. One of the other ones, which I'm really looking forward to, is a welterweight contest between Yuan Lianese and Justin Berlinson. I like both of them. Both of them just recently came out and beat guys who I was pretty high on. Justin Berlinson beat David Baer, who is a French guy who fights in Cage Warriors, and Lianese had beaten Evan Cutts in CFFC. So, like, both of them went out there and beat guys who I was kind of big on. I'm not sure which one I'm more, like, impressed with that they beat my guy, but it's enough that I have to, like, think about it a little bit longer in the style before I'm telling you to jump on it. And then the other one, you know, there's this unknown Hawaiian guy who I don't know much about, is Kanan Kawahi. You know, like, Hawaiian guys are usually pretty damn tough. He's 6 foot and featherweight. So that's
like
interesting.
Statements.
But, you know, he lost to Chase Hooper back on Contender Series, and for the life of me, I can't remember how that looked. So I got to go back and rewatch that, and until I'm, you know, ready to go all in on it. Yeah, there's another blanket statement. until I'm ready to go all in on it, I'm going to hold off on telling you to get on any of these lines early. Maybe you're just going to have to wait and listen to us on Sunday.
Oh, listen to that. Dan's teasing you. There are some amazing names on this card. It's going to be just a disaster. I'm not even going to – I'm not going to try to pronounce any of them now.
I'm pumped for you to try the ones on UFC 267. I think UFC 267 is going to cause you some sweats.
Most of them I know, which helps. Well, you would think it helps. I haven't still said them out loud. In my brain, I think, yeah, I know how to say that, but we'll see when I actually say them out loud in a couple minutes. How's that for another tease? All right, we should get down to the nitty-gritty. Yeah, well, I hope you're brainstorming on what we're going to do when after Contender Series is done, because that's what people come here for now, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we'll find something.
We have to find another money-making scheme. That's the thing. We can pick another organization, but that's the one that we can make money on. That's the key. The key here was your brains making all the money for everyone. That was the key.
Yeah. They come here for me, so that's fine. True. They'll keep coming.
Y'all should keep going to WinBet also. That's speaking of winning money. Go to WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get to know all your favorite teams, players, and sports for NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 to win $100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WinBet will match it 200%. So, for example, here's the math for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm assuming ladies listen to us still. You bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. Max wager match. Yes, that makes sense. Max wager match is $750. They will match it up to $1,500. I want to just give some examples of what we'll use the bonus on. Dan is going to bet that the Braves are going to sweep the World Series with your bonus money there, right?
I don't ever talk about betting on the Braves.
You're totally. And I imagine ladies listen to us. Over under on number of women that listen to us on an average episode, Dan?
I'll go 2.5 is the over under.
Okay, how about not related to us?
1.5.
Okay, there we go. Great promos. Odds and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From booster parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, bet win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com. Another blanket statement, women do not listen to us. So hopefully women do listen to us and they're not offended by us thinking that you don't listen to us. Only the cool chicks would listen to this podcast. All right. UFC 267, Dan says, is coming up. And I agree, because Wikipedia says it is. It is Błachowicz versus Teixeira or Shiera or Tex. What's so funny, Dan? His first name's Glover. Glover Shiera.
We're still on the main event and just it's mentioning true. The names and you're already butchering them.
Błachowicz and Shiera.
Błachowicz.
It's Błachowicz.
It's Teixeira. Yeah.
Yes. Teixeira.
Błachowicz and Teixeira.
Didn't Teixeira beat your Braves in the World Series, Dan, back in the 90s? Or was he not in the
80s? No, he was on the Braves for one of our runs.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
All right, this one's going down Saturday from the Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi. They're not pretending it's Fight Island anymore. It's Abu Dhabi, they say now. UAE, United Arab Emirates. This is listed as it's like numbered like a pay-per-view, but it is not. It's the best kind of pay-per-view, one that you don't have to actually pay for. It is on ESPN Plus, which is lovely. I think the main reason is, well, they get a ton of money, I think, from UAE for hosting events there. So that's probably the main reason, but also they host it at a time appropriate for people to watch it in the arena there because they're making a buttload of money from them. So this will be, if you're on the East Coast, an afternoon card, West Coast, early morning card. Prelims, 10:30 a.m. on ESPN Plus. Main card, 2 p.m. on Eastern on ESPN Plus. And you don't want to miss the prelims because there's some fantastic fights in the prelims as well. We're talking, 15 fights, right? Yeah, 15 fight card. How did you find picking the winners for this one? Any blanket statements on this blanket statement episode?
A lot of close ones, but yeah. There are some underdogs and some lines I really like. So
yeah, I thought I wasn't going with too many dogs, but I ended up with a few. Including, I got a big one. Do you have a big one coming up? I have a big one.
I have a big one. I actually think I have two big ones, and I think one of them is your big one.
I'm thinking probably because I don't know why it's so big because there's a clear path to victory. But enough dancing around things. Let's get right down to it. I think we're getting a little. Yeah, we hit a big dog at the UFC. Plus, you hit a big dog last night. So I think we're either getting cocky or we're on a nice hot big dog run here. So let's find out. We'll start with flyweights. Tagir Ulumbekov versus Alan Nascimento. How's that, Dan? Tagir, I think it is, actually.
No, I think you had it right. I think it was Tagir.
Is it a hard G?
Tagir Ulumbekov.
All right. Do you know Nascimento's nickname is Puro Oso?
Yeah, I think I used to know what that meant when he was on Contender Series years back.
What's
can't
Puro?
Remember. Puro means strong?
Pure.
Oh.
Oso is bone, I guess. Pure bone.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
I did not.
All right. Well, let's tell you about Mr. Nascimento. Flyweights, first of all, so starting things off with a bang. We expect good big things out of flyweights always, and we usually get it. He is 18-5, two knockouts, 13 submissions. So we have a path to victory there for him. He's never been finished in a fight. This will be his UFC debut. As Dan mentioned, he was in the Contender Series where he lost. Who did he lose to again? Do you remember?
Rowan Paivia.
Right, okay. He's won one straight fight to get into the UFC via submission. Why do you get picked up off of one win? This isn't a short notice one either, is it?
They had their eye on him for a really long time.
Yeah.
I think when they put him on Contender Series against Rylan Paivia, they assumed he would beat him and then were just going to pick him up. And I mean, Paivia is now moved up a weight class and is ranked. So like,
yeah.
That is just some wild matchmaking thinking he was going to beat Paivia.
Yeah. Anyhow, he lost the Contender Series. He was in Ryzen, the Japanese promotion, for a fight and lost that. Two interests other than Ulumbekov. He's only had one fight where we have stats for it because it was in the Contender Series, but he was twice more active striking than Ulumbekov in that fight, but we're talking one fight for each guy, so very small sample size. He's at plus 260, so there's a big dog. Could this be Dan's? Let's find out. Ulumbekov, 13-1, two knockouts, six submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. He's 1-0 in the UFC. His win was way back in October of 2020, so over a year now. He's won four straight fights, grappling stats in his favor, but once again, the smallest sample size is one fight. Minus 350, I'm not taking the dog. I'm going with minus 350 Ulumbekov here.
Yeah, I'm going with Ulumbekov too. Look, he's just like a more technical striker. I also think he's the better wrestler. So while, you mentioned there's a path to victory there for Alan Nascimento, it could be his submission skills. I think his submission skills, first of all, are good off of his back, but not against somebody who's as good defensively as Tagir Olambakov. And also, like, I think Tagir decides if it goes to the ground, and I think he's better on the feet. So he's kind of got that, like, traditional Eastern European guy thing where he's going to just, like, throw hands with you as long as it's still working out for him. And then when it's not, he's going to wrestle you. And in this case, I think he's got an advantage in the wrestling, so I think he will be fine there. And he's the type of guy who will just stay safe enough on top. Let's say that.
There you go. Decision? Victory, probably?
You know, I just got done doing the prelim primer, which, by the way, you guys should listen to. I officially predicted that he would win by decision in that fight. But my co-host decided to go out on a limb and say that he thought that he could get a submission. And I would say it's not the worst pick I've seen. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a submission, too, but I officially am going with, yeah, decision.
Spoiler alert, I am not the co-host he's speaking of, so there's no reason to listen this week to the prelim primer. Moving on. Right?
Look, I mean, you're right. You're not the co-host.
Lightweight, Demir Ismagulov, Magomed Mustafev. He's a sniper. Ismagulov is nothing. The sniper, Mustafev, is Mustafayev, it probably is, right?
It's Mustafayev, you're right.
See? I always get it eventually if I fumble around and you snicker in the background and not help me out ever. Lightweight. That's a blanket statement on Dan. He's 14-3. 10 knockouts, 4 submissions, so everything is a finish for this man. 3-2 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last three. So the last one would be a loss, but that was back in February of 2020. He has been out for a while. He used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. This one's down at lightweight. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 205, Ismagulov, 20-1, 9 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight, 4-0 in the UFC. Previous to this, he was the M1 champ over in Russia. He's won 15 straight fights. He has missed weight in the past, so something to keep in mind. You may want to wait to weigh in, see how he looks, make sure he makes weight. You plan on betting him or even against him. 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach, 3 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor. Active striking meaning that he lands more strikes per minute or per fight, however you want to think of it, than Mustafev does. He's at minus 270. Who you got here?
I'm going to go with Demir Ismagulov. I think he's a better striker. It's kind of similar to the last one where Mustafayev, like Nascimento, has some avenues to victory. Like, he can just get wild and throw knockout stuff. He's got a win over Rafael Fiziev through that. But, like, I think we're in the same vein as Tagir Ulambakov. He's sort of a guy who just will compete with you on the feet, and then if he feels like it's not working as much as he'd like it to, can just turn this into the most dull fight you've ever watched. And while maybe that's not the best advertisement to watch this fight, it is a really good reason to pick Demir Ismagulov, and I actually think the numbers you're seeing him at right now are pretty reasonable if you're looking to bet on him. Negative 245 is a good number.
And then there is all the more reason to watch the fight, whether it's boring or not. So I'm picking him also, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. So that's 2 for 2 for us. I have a feeling we're going to go 3 for 3 with our picks. The next one, middleweights, Hu Yaozhong, Yaozhong versus Andrei Petrosky. Yaozhong, Totoro is his nickname, which I think I looked it up. It's some character. It's an Asian like cartoon from the 80s, I think. That's the main character's name in it. Do you know anything about this Totoro nonsense, Dan?
I do not.
Your kids aren't into Totoro?
They are apparently not.
From 3 decades ago from China, they're not into it. It's surprising.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird. What are you doing? You sheltering these kids. God. Totoro is 3-2, so he is very experienced, this man. 2 knockouts, 1 submission. 0-2 in the UFC. He has not fought since November 2018. 3 inches of height over Petrosky, 4 years younger. The more active striker of the two men, but small sample size for these guys. Plus 185. Is he a performance center guy or not? Because he's been around a long time. Maybe not.
I think he might even predate the performance.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, he was in the UFC a long time ago. So, yeah, I don't think so.
How did he get in the UFC? Was he on the didn't he have an Ultimate Fighter?
I'm pretty sure. One? If I'm not mistaken, I think he debuted on that Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes card in China, and they just needed fighter on short notice, and he made the most sense.
3-0, yeah. 3-0, put that guy in, UFC.
Yeah, 3-0, and, like, he's willing to step in on no time. why not take a run at him? And then he lost a couple of times and just keeps moving one weight class down.
Yep.
Such a wild move.
Always a smart thing to do. And he hasn't fought in 3 years now, basically. All right, I'll tell you Petrosky stuff, and then we'll tell you why we're obviously picking him. He's 6-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, so everything's a finish for him. 1-0 in the UFC. He took that was short notice, right, the fight he took? Or was it
not? Yeah, it was
short notice. Right.
But for both fighters, they needed an extra fight to fill out a card.
Right. He was on The Ultimate Fighter, where he was the top pick, right? He was the number one guy? Or not? I didn't watch the show. I think you were telling me that.
Was. Yes, I believe so.
He went 1-1, won his first round and then lost the second round in the Ultimate Fighter House. He's taken this fight on short notice as well. That's his thing. He's got an inch of reach on Yao Zhang. Striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, minus 240. Obviously, we're taking Petrosky.
Yeah, I would say obviously. I do worry. So he's not going to be my lock or anything. And I'll say it this way, because I think he's got a lot of potential. I was a little bit worried about his gas tank coming off the show. He didn't do enough to assuage those concerns his last time out. Word. Yeah. Thank you. I do have a degree in English. So, like, he didn't do a lot to make me feel better, if that dumbs it down better for people. He didn't make me feel a lot better about it last time. He looked better than he did in The Ultimate Fighter, but not much better. I would have liked to have seen him with a full training camp to have him work on some of that, but here we are again. So I do think he's going to win, because I don't have a lot of faith in Hu Yaozhong, but I do question, you know, like, whether or not he's going to be able to go 3 hard.
I have a degree in economics, which is why I'm perfectly qualified to host a podcast, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's qualified to host a podcast.
Exactly. I'm using my economics degree to its fullest, for sure. All right, before we move on, so it's 3-for-3 with Dan. Let's see if we make it 4-for-4. I have a feeling the next one may be the one where we are thinking alike once again, but let's find out. First, Prop Swap. We are brought to you by Prop Swap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. MLB playoffs are in full swing, and Dan says Atlanta's going to sweep, and Prop Swap is your home for your best World Series futures. All season long, Prop Swappers have been finding the best odds in the country, because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. If Atlanta loses tonight, it's my fault. Is that what we're going with now?
I mean, that's always been that.
Okay, good. Nothing's changed. All right, featherweights. Makwan Amirakani versus Lerone Murphy. Murphy is the miracle. Amirakani is Mr. Finland, because he is one Mr. Finland at one point. All right, Mr. Finland, 16-6, 1 knockout, 11 submissions. 6-4 in the UFC. He's only won one of his last 4. He's lost 2 straight fights. Do you remember when he was the big deal, Dan, back when he was first starting out in the UFC?
Yeah, he won 5 of 6 at a point, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on a bit of a skid, you could say. He used to fight at featherweight. He used to be a boxer. He also is a wrestling champion. He's got an inch of height on Murphy. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 260. Murphy the Miracle, 10-0-1 with 6 knockouts. 2-0-1 in the UFC. He's won his last 2 fights. He's taken this on short notice. He was the FCC champ. Do you know what the FCC is, Dan?
I don't, actually.
I'm going to actually look it up, because I didn't write down exactly what it was. It is Full Contact Contender. Have you ever watched Full Contact Contender, Dan?
I don't think so. Not to my
I think it's from England. It was from England, and he was their featherweight champion. So it tells you what type of league we're talking about. Dan has never heard of it, nor seen it. What else can I tell you? I told you he used to fight it. Oh, he also used to fight at lightweight, actually. This one is at featherweight. No. Yes. This one's at lightweight. So why did I write down he used to fight at lightweight? Interesting. Maybe he used to fight at – this one's at featherweight. You're just going to let me fumble around here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's at featherweight, but you –
This fight's at featherweight. So, of course, Amirakani used to fight at featherweight. No, I think did Amirakani fight at – another weight class before. That's what I'm going to
I don't believe so. I believe he's always been a
Is everyone confused now? Probably. Featherweight fight, Murphy used to fight at lightweight. How about that? He's got an inch of reach on Amir Khan. He's 3 years younger. Striking stats in his favor, plus he's twice more active landing strikes. Minus 350. Despite all this, Amir Khan is my dog, Dan. Very clear path to victory. Murphy is not good at wrestling.
He was mine, too. The wrestling thing is a little bit of it. I will say, as a caveat, I am a little bit worried about Amir Khan's game planning. I'm a little bit worried about his ability to keep people down, because sometimes he really likes digging for those submissions and just absolutely lets a guy get up. But at 260, I think you got to take a stab at it. The path is clear enough. It's an interesting enough dog. I think you got to go for it.
Is this an SBG issue, Dan? People seem to go there and get worse or have bad game planning at the very least. And that's where Amir Khan is out of now, I believe.
I mean, if you're going to blame them for winning him, give them credit for what he was before, right? And he does have amazing submission skills. So
yes. Hopefully he puts them on display this weekend. But yeah, this one, I think when you have a clearer path to victory as this, why not make a stab at it? Plus 260 is a nice payday. So, all right. Moving on. Light heavyweights. Michael Oleksiyuk versus Shamil Gamzatov. Now Dan's going to say both the names for us. Go ahead.
Michael Oleksiyuk.
Yeah.
And then Shamil Gamzatov.
There you go. There you go. Do you know that Mikhail is Lord? I don't know. He's Lord. Gamzatov does not have a nickname, so we'll just call him Shamil. Oleksiyuk, 15-4, one no contest, 10 knockouts, one submission. He's been subbed 3 times in his career, so 3 out of the 4 losses are via submission. Gamzatov does have some submission wins, too, so that's something of note. He's 3-2-1 in the UFC, won his last fight. He was the TFL champion. Dan, TFL.
No clue. This is an episode that's stumping me on bad regional.
Exactly. You mean you've never watched Thunderstrike Fight League, Dan?
That's the most Eastern European ass sounding regional.
Thunderstrike. Exactly. He was the light heavyweight champion there. He defended his belt 3 times. Thunderfight was in Poland, it looks like. Yes. Fantastic name. All right. So he was a champ there, so that's something to – that's nothing to sneeze at. What else can I tell you? Used to fight at middleweight. This one's up at light heavyweight. I got weight classes correct for this one. He's 5 years younger than Gamzatov. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 125. Gamzatov, 14-0, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. Very well-rounded gentleman. 1-0 in the UFC. His last fight was way back in November 2019. Do you know why he's been out? Is it a COVID thing?
I think it's just the difficulty traveling. Yeah.
Okay, he was in PFL also, where he's 2-0. And before that, WSOF, the precursor to PFL, where he's 1-0. Used to fight at middleweight also. He also used to fight at heavyweight. So this is right in the middle there. 2 inches of height, 2 inches of reach over Oleksiyuk. Oleksiyuk, Dan, don't laugh. Gamzatov's a grappling champ also. Minus 155. I'll let you pick first here.
I'm going to take Michael Oleksiyuk here.
Guess what? So am I.
Yeah, look at that. Dog in a row. And I like Oleksiyuk here because of the complicitness of Gamzatov. He just seems to be not very active. And I mean that in both his UFC fight and when he was with PFL. I just think he doesn't push enough, and he's up against a guy. And I don't also think he has very great finishing ability, but he's up against the guy who I don't necessarily think will finish him, but I think will push and push and push nonstop and will look better on the judges' scorecards. I also have questions on Gamzatov's cardio. I don't think it's good. I actually really like Oleksiyuk as a pick.
And if he's getting hit a lot, his cardio is going to be even worse than it normally is. So, yeah, we're both in on that. So, boring. Let's see. I don't think we're going to probably change this streak here either, but let's move on to welterweights. Lazio Zaleski Dos Santos versus Benoit Saint Denis. Saint Denis is the god of war, and Dos Santos is
Capoeira.
Do you know much about Saint Denis before I go into all his stuff? He is a debuting fighter on the
I know a lot about Benoit Saint Denis.
Oh, okay, good. I will give you his info, and then Dan will tell us everything he knows about him. Do you know his reach? I take it you don't know his reach, though, do you?
Not off the top of my head, no. Nope.
Neither do I. Yeah, I couldn't find anywhere, so I can't give you reach info here. But reach, actually, let me give you some stats on that. Reach, you probably would think it's a bigger factor than it is. 53% fighter with the reach advantage over the past 2 years has only won 53% of the time. So it's probably a thing that we probably lean on, or maybe not us because we know the stats, but I think it's maybe something that people lean on too much. Think your reach is a determining factor. It's really not. It's almost a coin flip when it comes right down to it.
I think it really matters about the intent of the fighter and the style of fighting. Because like when you look at those numbers, if you're looking at like a pure striking matchup, I bet you that skews a little bit more heavily. Whereas, you know, if you're looking at a grappling matchup, it's probably an absolute crapshoot.
Like last week, what's her name? That girl that I got right and you got wrong.
Tabitha Ricci.
Yeah, Ricci had like, what, she was down like 8 inches of reach or something, but
yeah,
didn't matter.
Yeah. No, because they weren't far apart from each other.
Exactly. Anyhow, I don't know St. Denis' reach. He could have NBA player arms for all I know, but he's 8-0, I know that, with one no contest. One knockout, 7 submissions, so he is a finisher. 9 years younger than Dos Santos, plus 180. That's all I got. Dan's going to fill in the rest in a sec. Dos Santos, 22-7, 14 knockouts, 3 submissions, 8-3 in the UFC. He's got a loss, win, loss over his last 3 fights. Last fight was a loss. That was back in July of 2020. He was the Jungle Fight champ, which Dan does know Jungle Fight. I'm sure he's watched plenty of Jungle Fight. In Brazil, he's a minus 230. All right, fill us in on St. Denis, and then we'll figure out who we're picking here.
So St. Denis comes to the UFC from Brave CF, which is one of the best Middle Eastern promotions right now. Where he just absolutely dominated a lot of his competition, including some pretty good guys like Luan Santiago, who has fought some UFC guys and was their champ for a little while. So like he has some really high quality wins. He's also not been fighting in pro MMA all that long. If you go back and look at his record, you know, you mentioned 8-0, which sounds like a reasonable size record. He made his pro debut in February of 2019. So all of those wins come from February 2019 and on. So he's working at a pretty quick rate. And some of that is because he was a judo guy growing up, and then he was in the French Special Forces, kind of got away from MMA, and then just decided after he was out of the French Special Forces to just start punching people in the face again. And he's damn good at it. I'm actually going with him as an underdog here against Elias Zaleski Dos Santos. I like the number. I also think Dos Santos has had a little bit of trouble with people who can out-grapple him, and St. Denis is a guy who's got some pretty good wrestling, and I really love his top control game. It reminds me a little bit of like Petrosky, who is, you know, he's got that that wrestler grappler style with like good head and arm chokes. You see that out of St. Denis. So I think there's a good possibility that he works Elias Zaleski Dos Santos that way.
And he's not one of these guys who have padded the record with cans. Looking at his opponent's records, 0-0 was his first fight. Then he went 4-0, 2-0, then 7-1, 9-5-1. 38-34, 13-4, 15-4, 6-2. So he's fought good fighters all the way up. So that, I'm going with the dog also. He's definitely worth the dog money to hear. Like I said, not a padded record, far younger fighter. Let's go with that's 3 straight dogs for us. Holy moly.
That's a lot of dogs in a row, yeah.
That's a lot of dogs in a row. We're pushing our luck here. All right, middleweights. Albert Duraev, who you may remember from the Contender Series a few weeks back, versus Roman Kopylov. Duraev's nickname is Machete. Kopylov does not have a nickname, so Kopylov will go first. He's 8-1 with 7 knockouts. 0-1 in the UFC. He got subbed in his lone UFC fight, which was back in November 2019. He's an inch taller than Duraev, 2 years younger, 5 times more active striker, but we're talking one fight for each guy. He's at plus 220. The Machete, Duraev, 14-3, 3 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. So all of his losses have come via knockout, which is something of note since Kopylov is a bit of a knockout guy. This is his UFC debut after the Contender Series where he won his fight, 1-0. He's won 9 straight fights, striking and grappling sets in his favor, but we're talking one fight sample size, minus 290. Are we getting off the dogs for this fight?
Yeah, we're getting off the dogs for this one.
Yeah, that's what I
and let to. It be known, I'm not sold on Duraev. I don't think Duraev is like the world beater that everybody else does. But Kopylov, I mean, he fought one time. It was like 2.5 years ago, and he got out grappled by Carl Roberson, who largely in his UFC stint, looked like he didn't know how to grapple. And he got rear-naked choked by Carl Roberson. So, yeah, I'm all over Duraev here. I think he wrestles him and submits him as fast as he wants.
There you go. Oh, a submission also we're going for, are we? All right. We have some props later on. All right, featherweights. Ricardo Ramos versus Zubair Tukugov. That's his name. Right, Dan?
Yeah, you added Zubair Tukugov.
There you go. He's a warrior. Ramos is how do you say his nickname? Do you know how to say his nickname? Carcassina? Carcassina, I believe?
Caracina.
Caracina, that's right. He's Portuguese.
Which means, if I'm not mistaken, small cockroach.
I'm glad you said the roach part, Dan. Okay.
Right? Because isn't that... Am I wrong?
I wonder where that was headed. You said small cockroach.
I think you're adding an artificial pause, but
no, I'm not sure. All right, let's go with him first. Ramos, 15-3, 3 knockouts, 7 submissions, 6-2 in the UFC. Very, very solid UFC record. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He used to fight at featherweight. Bantamweight. I'm sorry. This one is at featherweight. Here we go again with the weights. He was the EFC champion. You know what EFC is, Dan?
EFC, you said?
Yes. EFC. For
Zubair Tukugov?
No, for Ramos.
Oh, for Ramos. No, then I probably don't know what EFC is.
The elite fighting championship, obviously.
I definitely don't know that one. Yeah.
He was a champion there. Wow, I'm getting in Brazil. I'm disappointed in you, Dan. Dan's been the fraud all along.
I didn't know he beat Alan Nascimento. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Very good.
Who's fighting all earlier back on the card, yeah.
All back. All right, he's an inch shorter than his opponent this week. 4 inches of reach, 4 years younger, more active striker. Grappling stats in his favor as well, plus 140. The Warrior, Tukugov, 19-5-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission, 4-2-1 in the UFC. Over his last 4, not so good, though, 1-2-1. He lost the last fight. That was back in September 2020. He's also missed weight in the past. He used to fight at lightweight, minus 175. This is one of the ones I got a question mark beside. So let's see what you got first.
This one's easy for me. I'm a guy who fades Ricardo Ramos quite a bit. I don't have hardly any faith in him. And I know he's got some decent wins in there. He beat my guy, Bill Algeo. I love Bill Algeo. He mostly did it by out-wrestling Bill Algeo. He's not going to out-wrestle Zubair Tukugov. He's got that win, if you go way back, over Ayman Zahabi, where Ayman Zahabi beat the living hell out of him for 13 or 14 minutes, only to eat his spinning back elbow in, like, the last couple minutes. He won a decision he shouldn't have won over Kyung-ho Kang. Like, I keep seeing him win, and I don't have a lot of faith in him. And I also think he's slow. I think he's really slow. And I think Tukugov is the right type of opponent to, like, really exploit that. I think Tukugov cruises pretty easily here.
Yeah, if in doubt, I'm going with the chalk. So we got lots of dogs ready. So Warrior at minus 175 is the pick. All right, final fight. This is a dandy, too. This one's do you find this one hard to pick or not? The one coming
up. It's harder than it looks on paper, yeah.
Yeah. Women's strawweight will be leading off capping off the prelims on ESPN Plus. Amanda Ribas, the cutest little fighter in the UFC, versus Verna Jandiroba. Or I guess it's Jandahoba, right?
If you ask the UFC announcers, it's Jandiroba.
Oh, that's right. Yes, they put the D in there, Jandiroba. All right, well, maybe it is. Do you know that she's Karakara? How do you say it? I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. Her nickname's Face, right?
Karakara.
Karkara?
Yeah, I think you told me it was Face last time. Yes. So.
All right, you remember. You pay attention to me. That's good to hear.
I do.
Gee, let's go with Jandiroba first. 17-2, 1 knockout, 13 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. She's won 3 of her 5 UFC fights, so that would make her 3-2. She won via TKO her last fight. She also was in Invicta, where she went 3-0 and was the champion. She also was the Circuito MMA de MMA champ. Have you ever watched that, Dan? Circuito MMA de MMA.
I have not. You're really stumping me with the bottom of your shirt.
There's a lot of. I'm going to make sure I keep including these. I just say a regional champ, but I'm going to start saying the names now. Especially Circuito MMA de MMA champ. She's plus 128. Ribas, 10-2. 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. Both of her losses have come via knockout. 4-1 in the UFC. She got TKO'd her last fight. She used to fight a weight class up at flyweight. She was the MF champion and the JF champion. We know JF, the jungle fight. Yep. Do you know MF? Don't say the word, Dan. Don't.
I don't think I know. I don't think I know what MF is.
Nah. You don't? You weren't. No, I'm pretty sure my youngest came home in kindergarten and told us what MF stands for. That's why homeschooling is a good idea, Dan. Max Fight. She was the Max Fight strawweight champion.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I think you have to watch more Brazilian and Eastern European regional.
Jungle Fight's got already enough shabby fights out there. Yeah. More of it.
I found a hole. Like we're finding holes in the fighters from the Chinese Performance Center, Dan. I found a hole in your knowledge. What else can I tell you about He-Boss? 2 inches of reach over Jandy Doba, 5 years younger, striking stats in her favor, -160. I'm going to go He-Boss on this one. I think her grappling is good enough to protect herself, and she's better on the feet. So let's take the chalk here.
You nailed it. I mean, like you can expunge my job here. That's right. Like I think her judo background is enough to keep her on the feet. I think she's a better striker. I think even when Jandy Doba has her down, I don't think I don't think she can keep her there, and I don't think she can submit her. So she would just have to like grind out a couple of rounds. I don't like her chances of doing that. So yeah, I'm on He-Boss as well.
To be clear, I do like both fighters. I think they're both.
Yeah, I'm a big Jandy Doba fan, and it's like a shame.
Jandy Doba.
Jandy Doba. Yeah, I'm a big Jandy Doba guy.
But she's no Marina Rodriguez. That's who beat the crap out of He-Boss last fight. So she definitely does not have that ferocity in striking. So. Oh my God, we didn't differ on any picks there. I thought with some of my underdogs I was going to throw you off the trail, but no, you're going with the big dogs too. So, that's 10 fight undercard, and we got them all, which means we were going to be correct. We're all on the same page there. Okay. What do we promise everyone every week? We promise them a ad-free main card. So, last two sponsors. Last but not least, obviously, Prediction Strike. Do you wish you could have had stock in a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. It's like Robinhood and DraftKings had a baby. Prediction Strike lets fans create portfolios of their favorite athletes so they can make money and get even closer to the game. Don't just bet on your favorite players. Start investing in them. Simply download Prediction Strike's new and easy-to-use app from the App Store or sign up to PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Use the code SGPNMMA, your favorite show, right? Then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players, just like you would real stocks. The value of players will change based upon game performance and supply and demand, and you can trade your shares of players at any time, as long as the player isn't currently in a game. So sign up with promo code SGPNMMA to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And Dan, very shortly, is going to have an article ready to tell you how to make money in Prediction Strike, right, Dan? That's my way of reminding you. That's
a good editor right there on the fly.
You got 4 days, mister. All right. Also, I'm going to tell the rest of you, even though you don't work for me, I'm going to tell you to do one more thing. SGPN app. If you don't have it, get it. Get it on your phone or whatever. Or I guess people use iPads. Get it on whatever you have. Download it. It's in the App Store, Google Play Store. We give you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to pretty please toss us an app review when you download the app. And give our, like I said earlier, give our podcast a review, why don't you? We deserve 5 stars at the very least. All right, main card. We got a stacked 6-fight main card. The prelims, pretty solid prelims also. Actually, I forgot to mention I rank fight cards on my MMA-manifesto.com website. This one is, I think, the second best card I've ranked in the past, but 3 or 4 years. This is a stacked fight card. Next week's may actually end up even better, though. So we are being spoiled. Light heavyweights, open things up. This is a 6-fight main card, which is a change for a numbered UFC event. We got Magomed Ankalaev. Why can't I say his name, Dan?
Ankalaev.
I know who he is. I know what he looks like. I've seen him fight a million times. He's fighting Volkan Ozdemir. I know how to say that name. I've got no time for that guy, though. No time. Ozdemir is his nickname. He's 17-5, 12 knockouts, 1 submission, 5-4 in the UFC. He did get a shot at the UFC title, which he did not did not win. What can I tell you? He's won two of his last three, but he did get KO'd in his last fight, which was back last summer, July of 2020. He has only won two of his last four fights. He's another guy who kind of burst on the scene and then went 1-3 straight and then went kaput. He was 1-1 in Bellator. He's 5-0 as a pro kickboxer, plus 240. Anka Liav, 15-1, 9 knockouts. 6-1 in the UFC. He's won 6 straight fights after losing his debut. Who did he lose his debut to? Do you remember?
Paul Craig.
There you go. He lost to the Bear Jew, Paul Craig. He was the WFCA champ. Did I stump you again?
WFCA champ. Yeah, I've never heard of that promotion. You're like digging to like their second fights or something for these.
Hey, man, I just go off the what I
like
got
you're,
here.
You're making me like look. You're like pseudo trying to make me look bad by being like, yeah, he won an amateur title in a hall one time. Do you know about Bingo Hall FC?
How dare you? You're disparaging World Fighting Championship Akhmat, Dan. Come on.
Isn't that the one run by the dictator?
Probably.
We
probably should stop the dictator who told
Kamzat Chimaev that he's just Kamzat
Chimaev that he's not retiring and he will survive. He will not die from COVID. It very well could be. It sounds like it is, but anyhow, he was a champ there. We will not mention. We will not make fun of that promotion, right, Dan? It's an awesome promotion. Very, very good promotion.
I'm just going to let you talk your way through this.
Very, very good promotion. Blanket statement. I think we've actually, I think we were getting some heat with that dictator before, Dan, so I think we should move right along. What can I tell you else about him? 1 inch of height over Ozdemir, 3 years younger, striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, minus 325. This is where I get really chalky, the main card. Anka Liav is the pick. Ozdemir. I have no time for him. I don't have faith in him anymore.
I think you're silly then, because I'm going to take
him. Oh, you're taking him?
Yep. This is I'm going to take him here. He's got really good takedown defense. I think people forget how good his takedown defense is. Because he did get knocked out by Yuri Prohashka. Magomed Ankalaev is not going to outstrike Volkan Ozdemir, right? Like the knockouts Magomed Ankalaev had are like, like Ion Kutalaba, other guys who wrestle. He doesn't outstrike strikers, right? Like, go back and look at Volkan Ozdemir versus Daniel Cormier, right? Like, which it sucks. He lost that decision. He did stuff a couple of Daniel Cormier's takedowns in that fight. You know, you go back and you watch
What's
him
his
against.
Name? What's the guy's name again?
Oh, Daniel Cormier?
Sorry. Well, Cormier, okay. I thought you were talking about Daniel Cormier, but no, you're talking about Cormier. Okay.
And, like, Ozdemir also stuffed a whole bunch of Ilir Latifi's takedowns, and he stuffed 8 from Alexander Rajcic in maybe what was one of the most boring fights I've ever seen in my whole life, but, like, he stuffs takedowns. So, like, you're going to pick Magomed Ankalaev, like, a negative 300 favorite to outstrike Volkan Ozdemir, or do you just think he's going to get enough groundwork done? I mean, he's not going to outstrike him. I'm pretty confident in that. He beat Ion Kutalaba by knockout. He kicked Dolce Lugiambola, but, again, a dude who's down at middleweight now. And, like, he hasn't been a flawless takedown artist either. Like, if you look at him against, like, Clinton Abreu or even again when he beat Nikita Krylov, he went 3-9. And, like, do you think a Nikita Krylov is this, like, great takedown stuffer? No, I think he's going to have to slug it out with Volkan Ozdemir. I think it's going to go badly for him.
He's got better striking accuracy, better striking defense.
It's easy to have better striking accuracy when you're fighting freaking Ion Kutalaba, who will just brawl with you and eat all your punches.
Have you not learned anything, Dan, that I know what I'm talking about here? I'm just here for the jokes, but I'm wrong. This is how I used to treat you in the old days, but I've gotten nicer. Now you've become a bad one. I'm wrong,
I'm gonna
Dan.
I'm going to berate you on this one, mostly because I'm low on Magomed Ankalaev.
All right. Time to fade another Asian in the next fight, right? This is why Zhang Li, you... Damn you, Zhang. This is why he wants us to know what we think of his... I think he did a... Let me find out what he did. The next fight is the Leech, Li Jinglian, versus Kamzat Chimaev, the man who almost died from COVID. No joke. He had COVID very bad, but then his benevolent, that's the word I'm trying to spit out here, benevolent dictator told him that he will not die and he will be back in the UFC. Let me see. What is Dan? Jong's going all crazy over Hamzat, but now I'm realizing, wait a minute. it's because he's fighting an Asian, and you got burned by a couple Asian fighters, so now you're a blanket betting these people. All right, what's he asking me? 17, he's putting 17 units in Chimaev winning inside the distance. That's his 17-unit prop bet. He wants us to talk about that, but let's break down the fight first, and then we'll see what we think of Superfan Jong's pick here. All right, the Leech is Jing Liang's nickname, and Boars is Chimaev's nickname. Now, Boars in Hungarian is Badger. Is that what his nickname is? Is it Badger?
I have no idea. Know? I have no idea if he has a Hungarian nickname.
Yeah, because it's close enough to his area, right? It could be Hungarian nickname, but it's Boars, B-O-R-Z.
I don't think it is close enough.
Oh, whatever. It's Europe. Closer than we are to it, right?
I guess that's true.
All right, blanket statement. Jing Liang, 18-6, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's 10-4 in the UFC. He's won 4 of his last 5. He won the knockout his last fight. He's a Legend FC champ. I think you know Legend FC, right?
I do, yeah, I do know.
That's in Korea, right?
Yes, they fight mostly out of South Korea. Yeah.
Okay. He is a BJJ champ. He's at plus 380. I think he is also Alpha Male, right? So you won't be picking him?
I don't think he's out of Alpha Male anymore. Last time he had been mostly training out of China Top Team.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure the pandemic has changed a lot of people's camps. Chimaev, coming back off of a very bad case of COVID, he has not fought since September 2020, which is, you would think we would never say that because he, fought 3 times in like 3 months or something ridiculous like that?
So, 2 months. 2 months.
2 months. There you go. Yes. He won all 3 of his UFC fights. He's 9-0 as a pro. 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. So everything's a finish. Like I said, all 3 in the UFC were wins and finishes. Last fight was well over a year ago, September 2020, and he wasn't just sitting in the sidelines. He was very, very ill with COVID. He's bounced between middleweight and welterweight. I think he says he wants to concentrate on welterweight now. Is that what I saw? Did you see that also?
That was last I heard, but who knows? Okay.
What I can tell you, he is a wrestling champ. He is 2 inches of height over the Leech, 4 inches of reach, 6 years younger, striking stats in his favor. Plus he's twice more active striking, grappling stats in his favor, minus 550. I'll take the chalk. I'm thinking Dan may be like, no, there's value in plus 380. So I'm going to take that.
There's not value in Li Jingliang.
Okay.
You know, I like Li Jingliang.
He's a good fighter.
He's a good fighter. His takedown defense is trash. It's really bad.
It's almost like these fights are like handpicked for Chimaev.
Yeah, almost. Weird like that. I think he's just going to roll really easy. Now, we'll talk about Jong's bet for just a second here, because if you look at Chimaev inside the distance, it looks like it's negative 170.
Yeah, that's what
I would. Yeah, so negative 170 if he claims 17 units, which I think, don't you usually go based on like a 10-unit bankroll? So like apparently he's got twice as much bankroll as everybody else. So,
well, it is drawn.
Yeah, so I'm not breaking the bank on trying to find a way to bet on Khamzat Chimaev, and the reason being is that like he is coming off of a big long layoff. He is coming off of having some pretty serious health complications that affected his lungs in a pretty serious way. I'm not sure I'm ready to take that guy to come out and storm out of the gates, especially not by finish. He is a finisher. He's finished all of his fights in either the first or the second round. So, you know, like gun to my head, you're asking me to pick one. Yeah, I'm taking that. But I think I'm tempering my expectations a little bit with him because I do think he's good. I do think he'll get back to his ways. I do think there's a good chance he finishes him. I just think there are a lot of unknowns in a fight to be like, dump the mortgage on it. It seems just a little bit heavy-handed for a guy who we do have some questions about.
Yeah, the health is definitely the issue.
And it's the best guy he's fought by far.
Yes, that as well. Yeah, he's not fighting. He may match up well with Jing Liang, but no walk in the park for sure. But we're both taking Chimaev, but probably isn't any real value in it unless you're a big roller like Jong and you want to blow all of your contender series earnings on this one fight. Then go ahead. A really good headline just came across my feed. Sean Strickland doubts UFC will release him despite opening up about homicidal thoughts. Comments, Dan?
Official comment is oof.
He would love to kill somebody in a fight, he says. And I wanted to my entire life. That's a big reason why I didn't have a social life. Like when I went out and got arrested, I just wanted to. There's just something in me that knew that if I could just kill a human being, it would make me feel good for a short time. Oh, boy. Can I get an oof, ladies and gentlemen?
I mean, I'm not even sure I'm willing to dignify this with an oof.
Wow. I didn't know it was going to be that bad after
it,
I read it.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
I thought it was just a funny headline, and then I'm like,
nah, oh, that's about as bad as it. That's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Okay, now we brought things down into the psycho realm. Let's move back up. We love you, Sean Strickland. Haha, just joking. And we love all dictators as well. Moving on, heavyweights. Big boy time. Kind of chunky. Marcin Tybura counts as one of our chunky guys that we love, right?
He's not kind of chunky. He's chunky.
He's chunky. Alexander Volkov, not chunky. Too tall. That's my excuse. I'm pretending I'm not chunky because I'm tall, but really I could be chunky for all I know. All right, Tybura's got an amazing nickname. His name's Tiber. They just took the A off his last name. Isn't that cool?
It's a pretty cool nickname.
My nickname from now on is Fo. Hey, there's a new nickname for me, F-O. My nickname's Fo.
Like the Asian soup?
Yes, that's P-H-O, but yes. It pronounced the same, yes. And then Volkov is Drago, which, you know, it's fitting, but it's also like, yeah, whatever. Every big Russian fighter's nickname's Drago ever since that movie came out. So, all right, let's break her down. Tybura, 22-6, 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 4 times. 4 out of 6 losses are via knockout. 9-5 in the UFC, but he is on a massive run. 5-0. This is the best stretch of his career, at least of his UFC career. And he's won his last 2 fights via TKO. He was the M1 champ in Russia previously. He's at plus 230 for this. Going up against another former M1 champion. They both had the M1 heavyweight championship at one point. Drago. Volkov. 33 submissions, 7-3 in the UFC. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4 fights. He lost his last fight. Both of his wins have come via TKO, both of his last 2 wins out of his last 4. He was the M1 champ, like I said. He was also 6-3 in Bellator, where he was their heavyweight champion as well. 4 inches of height. Based on their last weigh-ins, he was around 14 pounds heavier. He was right at the 265 limit, and Tybura was at 251. He's got 2 inches of reach, 3 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 300. We'll let you pick first for a change. I got my pick locked in, but you go ahead.
I'm riding with the truck again here. I think Volkov is going to just destroy him on the feet. I also think he can just stay safe enough in the grappling and up against the cage that he's just going to pick apart Marcin Tybura. I don't think Tybura's got much for him in the way of striking.
No, Tybura had a nice run, but this is like he's gotten to the probably the top level of the division that he could get to at this point, and he's going to get picked apart. Like Dan said, Volkov is the pick. Bet your $100, win your $33, be happy about it. Lightweights, Islam Makhachev versus Dan Hooker. Hangman Hooker is back. He is 21-10, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions, 11-6 in the UFC. He's won 1 of his last 3 fights, but that was his last fight that he won, and it was a little over a month ago, September 25th. He's gone 4-2 over his last 6, despite this little skid he's gone on. He's taking this on short notice, obviously, because he just fought a month ago. He was the AFC champion. Do you know AFC, Dan? Not football.
AFC, that's the one out of Australia, right?
Yes, and it's the Australian Fighting Championship, I believe, is what it's called. Yes. He also is the SFC champ. Do you know that one, Dan? Haha, I got you this
time. Is that one Supremacy?
Oh, you're looking this up on Wikipedia now, you cheater.
No, I'm really not. No, because they have Supremacy and Eternal,
yes,
and
yep.
Australian, and then I think they have one called XFC in
yeah, they do. Yep,
Australia, so too. Yeah, those are the big Australian ones.
All right, so he was the Australian champ, and the Supremacy, he was the New Zealand lightweight champ, so none of that really matters at this point. He also was a kickboxing champion. He was 9-1-3, or is 9-1-3 as a pro kickboxer. 2 inches of height, 5 inches of reach on Makhachev. Twice more active striker. Plus 460 is the comeback on him. Makhachev, 20-1. 3 knockouts, 9 submissions. 9-1 in the UFC. He's won 8 straight fights. Do you remember who he lost to in the UFC, Dan?
He lost it. Was it? No, it wasn't Thiago. It was
It's a Brazilian dude,
right? Adriano Martins? Is that a person?
Adriano. Yes, he got TKO by him in his second fight in the UFC.
Okay, good. I thought that sounded like a real name, and then I just it came out of my mouth. I was like, it might not be a real name.
Leo Kuntz. Is that a real name, Dan?
Yes, it is. Yeah. He fought it's Kuntz, and he fought.
Really? He doesn't make people say Kuntz? Usually
he's a maniac, but he also fought Taehyung Bang. And just go ahead and just enjoy
Bang and Kuntz?
Yes.
I said Kuntz, yes. Everybody. Kuntz.
Yep.
If my mom's listening, I said Kuntz. All right.
But yeah, that was Dan, the poster. So the poster was great.
I bet it was. Look that up. Google it. Throw it in the Google machine. All right. He's won 8 straight fights. 2 straight via submission. He is the Sambo champion. Dan knows what Sambo is. He's also a grappling champion. Dan knows what grappling is. Are you a grappling champion, Dan?
I am a grappling champion. Yeah, I've won a couple of expert divisions and whatnot.
There you go. Ooh, expert division. Very good. Could you submit Islam Makhachev? You're way bigger than him.
I'm probably not way bigger than him when it comes to fight them. I like walk around at 200 pounds. I bet he walks around at 185.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, he's probably the same size as me, roughly.
He is a year younger than Hooker. He's got striking stats in his favor too, which is surprising because he's pretty good defensively, I believe, because he takes people down immediately. Grappling stats, obviously, in his favor, minus 700. Makhachev is the obvious pick due to the wrestling. He looked better in his last fight, much better, actually, in the wrestling aspect of things, but I don't think he's going to be good enough against Makhachev.
It was mostly offensive wrestling, too, which is worth noting, because that is different. Like, sometimes you can make big gains in one end and not in the other. If he did make big, good gains in the defensive one, he might be interesting here as kind of an underdog, but we won't know that. I'm just going to take Makhachev. I think it's the easy pick.
Yep. Minus 700, though, not so. Maybe we'll have some props for you when we get to that part. We're almost there. This is a long fight card. The one positive about when Contender Series goes away, we can just do like half-ass podcasts that aren't an hour and a half anymore, right?
Yeah, we can break cards into two different preview shows.
That is true. But it seemed like the ones where we didn't really had a topic, I think we overcompensated and made those longer anyhow. So, because we love you people. All right, let's go to kind of a title fight, interim title fight, our favorite. Petr Yan versus Corey Sandhagen for the interim UFC Bantamweight Championship. If Yan was in the dum-dum, it would be for the regular Bantamweight Championship, but he got himself disqualified. But for some reason, that's his opponent's fault, is the way this has been played out. Yan is No Mercy, which is a perfect nickname for him. Sandhagen's the Sandman. All right, Sandhagen, 14-3. 6 knockouts, 3 submissions, 7-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4, including losing his last fight, but he's stepping in here on short notice for this fight. He used to fight up a weight class at featherweight. He's 4 inches taller, 3 inches of reach over Yan. More active striker, plus 185. Yan, 15-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 7-1 in the UFC. He did, the one L on his record was his disqualification last fight against Aljamain Sterling with the illegal knee. A fight that he was pretty much, he was dominating, but he also wasn't like totally, he lost a round, so he wasn't totally dominating. Some judges had him losing 2 rounds, so it wasn't like he was totally dominating. He was the ACB champion. Dan, ACB.
Absolute Combat Beirut.
Berkut, isn't it?
Maybe.
Berkut, it's not Beirut, for crying out loud. He's not in Beirut, but yeah.
No, but it's something like that. I know. I'm counting that one.
It is.
I do know that.
Yes. We will. Judges say yes. They're going to count that one for Dan. Striking stats in his favor. Grappling stats in his favor. Minus 240. I shouldn't always make my pick first and steal your thunder, Dan. Go ahead. Tell us why Yan's going to win.
You shouldn't always go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first on this one. I'd like to hear your
Petr Yan, obviously. Petr Yan's a complete fighter, and he's just scary. Have you seen pictures of his son? I saw a picture of his son recently.
Looks
just like him.
It's crazy.
I'm scared of his son. He's what, like 2 years old maybe?
He looks very scared of that. He looks menacing.
Oh, yeah. Me mugging the camera, yeah, he looked rough.
But back to the actual fight. Yeah, Petr Yan is look, you said a complete fighter. He doesn't even need to be the complete fighter. The thing for me that sticks out in this fight is that he's going to enter the clinch with Sandhagen. Sandhagen is going to want that because he likes to throw the knees. He likes the clinch. And that is where Jan does his best grappling. The trips, the you know, drops down to the leg, the catching your knee and you know, running the pipe, all that kind of stuff works really well for Piotr Jan. And, like, it's just a nightmare matchup for Corey Sandhagen, who has shown flaws in his grappling defense. I mean, like, Marlon Moraes took him down pretty easily. Like, I really want to pick Corey Sandhagen because it's, like, a nice story and I, like, enjoy Corey Sandhagen. But, like, I don't think he's going to beat Piotr Jan. Piotr Jan, for sure, here is the pick.
The minus 240 is not really that bad.
Not awesome.
Considering how good he is. So.
Yeah.
All right. So we are on the same page once again, except for the one fight you yelled at me. I think that's the only time we differed, right?
Yeah, Volkan Ozdemir is just going to be my pony for the week.
I'm scared to differ from you now. You actually got angry, for crying out loud. Wait till the Braves lose, and it's my fault. Then we'll see anger. All right, now we got a real title fight. Who would have thought that Glover Teixeira would get another shot?
Look at you, thanks for that.
We say he's an old man, but really, Blachowicz is an old man also. He's only 4 years younger. So he's not like he's a spring chicken either. The champ, Jan Blachowicz versus Glover Teixeira. Teixeira is what, 44? No, 43 maybe? 41, I'm sorry. I made him. He's going to be 42 when fight time rolls around because tomorrow's his birthday. But yeah, like I said, the champ is 38, so it's not like he's a spring chicken either. So, all right, Tex. He does have a nickname. We're going to call him Tex. He's 32-7. 18 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times, 15-5 in the UFC, including he scrapped with John Jones that he lost. He's won 5 straight fights, 4 of them via finish. He also was the Shudo champion, which I don't have to ask. You know about Shudo. He also was in WEC. WEC never die, right, Dan?
That's right.
And that's it. 3-1 WEC, probably my favorite promotion of all time. He also is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. He's the more active striker of the two men, plus 220. All right, the champ, Blachowicz. Who would have thought we'd say that? He's the champ. But yes, he is the champ here. 28-8. 8 knockouts, 9 submissions. 11-5 in the UFC. He's won 5 straight fights, 9 of his last 10. He's already successfully defended his title against Israel Adesanya, which I think kind of made him legit in everybody's eyes because he pretty much blew. Did he win 5-0 in that fight?
He might have, yeah, if I remember correctly.
He dominated regardless. 3 of his last 5 fights he's won via a former knockout, TKO or knockout. You might think he's a knockout guy, but he's really not. Only 8 of his 28 wins are knockout. Very good striker, but not really a heavy-handed guy. He was the KSW champ. Dan knows KSW. I don't have to ask that. He's also Muay Thai champion and a BJJ champion. 2 inches of reach over the old man, Teixeira. 4 years younger than him, minus 290. I'm going with the champ retaining. He's going to – Teixeira gets hit too often. He may not get knocked out, but he's just going to get hit too often.
He's going to get knocked out.
I like you
being nice, but like Gustafson pieced him up and knocked him out in a bad way.
Yeah, that's true.
And Blachowicz hits about like 30 times harder than that. So yeah, like he's going to get knocked out. His only hope really is to make sure it is not in striking range very long. And I think it's going to be in striking range enough for him to get hit really badly once. So yeah, I'm going to go with the champ as well, Jan Blachowicz.
Really, not much else to say there. It should be a fun fight though, because Teixeira doesn't really. He always seems to push the action, so it probably will be to his detriment, but it'll be fun to watch, right? Even though we like the guy. You got some props for us. You got some +10 parlays for us, or -10 parlays for us.
Yeah, so let's start with the props. I got 2 that I really like on this one. I like Zabir Dukhugov by TKO or KO against Ricardo Hamosh. I think he's so much faster and he's so much stronger, and Hamosh just gets hit. He's also got a lot of KOs on his record if you go back. I think Dukhugov +450 for the TKO is a really good play. And then also I'm really liking Albert Duraev by submission against Roman Kopylov. You're taking a guy who's an over 300 favorite and turning him to +125. So I think that's worth playing around with as well. Obviously, it's not as big and as juicy of a number as the Dukhugov one, But it is, I think, a really good number. As far as parlays go, there's a couple I really like. So I would start by saying just take the two champs. And, yes, I am still calling Piotr Jan a champ. But I'll just take Blankovic and Piotr Jan right off the bat.
The two favorites.
Jan's a champ. So let's not sugarcoat it. It is his fault, but I'm saying he's the champ. And then I'm going to take Tuukka Rask as well because I'm pretty confident in him. And I also like Michael Krejčík. Yeah, let's throw him in there. And we'll round it all off with Demir Ismagulov. That's going to give you that 10-1 that you would love. Blankovic, Jan, Tuukka Rask, Krejčík, and Ismagulov is your 10-1 parlay.
Is that what, four fights?
That's five. I gave you five. Jan Blankovic, Tuukka Rask, Krejčík, and Ismagulov.
Okay. Gotcha. You said Jan Blankovic, which is actually one person's name. But you meant Jan, Blankovic, correct?
Jan, and Blankovic, yeah.
Funny. All right. That's actually not that that's not that crazy of a parlay, really, when it comes right down to it. All right, Ioannou, I think it's your turn first for our locks, which now you know. Okay, do you know what a lock is, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick the guy who's gonna win.
Guy or gal who's gonna win for sure, Dan. What pick are you most?
I'll take Zabir to Tuukka Rask.
Okay, very good. Lock him in -135. I'll take Piotr Jan +240, but I don't care. It's a little higher than I liked my loss.
-240.
I'm sure. wouldn't it be lovely if he was +240? If you can get him at +240, you can do a Superfan Jong 17 unit a bet on that for sure. All right. What's the best fight going to be?
The best fight? Ooh, that's a tough one.
The fight you're looking forward to the most, but.
The fight I'm looking forward to the most, I kind of want to see Amanda Ribas versus Virna Jandiroba. I think that's going to be a really fun and weird one. I also am really excited for the debut of Benoit St. Denis. He's a guy I've been tracking for a little while. I think he'll be fun to watch.
All right. We're banking on both those fighters to win, Ribas and St. Denis. So, all right. You can read all my picks and breakdowns Thursday at some point. I will post it on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And then Friday I will post my DraftKings DFS picks. I did pick Grant Dawson last week, like Dan told me I had to, and then he didn't win. He drew in his fight, almost lost. Thank you, Dan.
No problem, I got you.
You can read all our stuff at MMA-manifesto.com. Scroll down the main page a bit, and you'll see we have a pick'em contest you can get in on, win some. Actually, it's the Engage is the sponsor for this contest, which is a apparel, MMA apparel sponsor, which over in Australia, which basically sponsors all the fighters, including Hangman Hooker and Izzy and all those guys. So they're giving away $70 worth of gear of your choice. So get an honor free pick'em contest over at MMA-manifesto.com. I told you in the podcast, I've given you guys enough homework at this point. Oh, Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter, obviously. Jeff Fox Writer, he's Gumby Vreeland, and get it in on the Slack. We have lots of fun in the fight channel on Slack and in the food channel and NBA channel, NFL channel, all that stuff. So anything else you need to tell the people, Dan, before I take us home?
No, you just take us home.
All right, I'm going to take us home. I am Jeff Faux Fox, and what nickname am I going to go with him? He is Dan, formerly Mr. 80% Vreeland, and we will catch you on Sunday. Bye-bye.